Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, it's the pundit election post-mortem. On the program today, Larry Mathias, Paul Enos, Chris Wicker, Steve Robinson, Liz McMenamin, and Scott Craigie. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Save energy and money. Take control at NVEnergy.com.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This segment of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the international law firm of Greenberg Traurig, serving our community for decades as Nevada lawyers and as Greenberg Traurig since 2005. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we started out with a great pundit panel. As always, Paul Enos is here, CEO of the Nevada Motor Transport Association. Chris Wicker is here, spokesman for the Washoe County Democratic Party. And Larry Mathias, executive director for the Nevada State Medical Association. And I think all of us are a little tired from last night. Let's start out in the governor's race. Did Jim Givens ever stand a chance?
Probably in the middle of 2007 he did, and I mean that may have been where it kind of ended. I think he had a, you know, when he brought on Josh Hicks and Mindy Elliott, I think there was a chance there, but didn't come to fruition. I think the staff that he has now is great. I think there are some things that the governor is doing right now that he deserves a tremendous amount of credit for. I hope that whoever the next governor is, whether it's Sandoval or Rory Reid, that they do keep up some of the good things that the governor is doing that, you know, he hasn't gotten a lot of recognition for because of the election and because of the other scandals. Well, I know he's doing some stuff with boards and commissions. I mean, he's taken a real hard look at the state budget. I mean, we're with a, let's say it's a $2 billion hole in our budget. He's looking at reinventing government. So I think that what the governor's doing, he does deserve some credit for.
Your thoughts, Chris?
Well, I think Governor Gibbons tied his hands early on with his no new taxes pledge, and in an environment like we have now,
But Brian Sandoval has been running to the right of the governor.
And that's exactly what I'm going to say, is that Governor Gibbons tied his hands like that, and he submitted a ridiculous budget at the start of legislature.
Why would he tie his hands? I mean, I don't necessarily see how that's tying
You have to ask him why he tied his hands.
It's
he
not,
did
but that
tie
isn't
his
tied
hands.
His hands, Chris. The guy, when he came into office, there was at least $150 million surplus. I don't think anybody saw this economic disaster that, you know, not just Nevada,
He never untied his hands, and now we have Brian Sandoval tying his hands too in an environment where there has to be a look at new revenue sources. You can't just say
let's raise taxes right in the middle of a recession we can make sure that everybody's
ridiculous if you want to be, but you have to look at new revenue sources.
Chris,
you have to.
The thing is, the private
Governor Gibbons was going to gut higher education. He was going to gut higher education, and already you're hearing that professors, UNR has tried to build its university for years, and you see those professors leaving now because of the circumstances that they
He wasn't
themselves.
Trying to gut higher education. He was trying to say higher education needs to get more money from the private sector, from endowments like they do in other states, instead of relying so heavily on the state government. That's what he's saying. And that's the goofy thing that we do sometimes, Chris. We take people's, we take these positions and we turn them around. So
the goofy thing you do is you gut education, you gut social services, you gut economic development, and you wind up with a state with low taxes but a quality of life that is ridiculous.
I think you've actually both missed the point of what happened with Jim Gibbons, that every governor who is unfortunate enough to be running for re-election this cycle is in trouble to start with. And if they come from states that have been as badly hit as Nevada, and of course Nevada's been the worst hit, but ones that are in that crowd, most of those governors aren't running for re-election. They're mostly seeking other offices or going to spend more time with their families. So you had the economic problem that was going to drive any incumbent race. But let's face it, he also had a messy private life.
Sure.
Sorted and in the papers for his entire term, so actually starting before the election. And for people who may have gone along with him on how he was trying to handle the state budget and government during this time, they found that part of it hard to deal with. And for people who just found the whole thing to be a mess, I think they had a plausible alternative. In every race where there's an incumbent, the race is about the incumbent. And the second choice, a decision, once they decide that's not the incumbent we want to see reelected, then they have to look, is the alternative plausible? And I think that's the simple story of Jim Gibbons' short and unhappy
office. I wonder if Brian Sandoval had to run so far to the right as he has to get elected. I think he could have gotten elected otherwise.
Because it's very hard to gauge the impact in the Republican Party of the Tea Party insurgency.
Why is it running so far to the right if you say, I don't think we should raise taxes when we have record number of businesses failing, where we have bankruptcies?
He had to change his position on immigration, some other things. And those are all because candidates were having trouble this year figuring out exactly where the Republican electorate, especially with this boom of people who haven't voted recently, what their influence is going to be. I think now you have the problem of gauging what part of the total electorate is that. Presumably, there's almost as many independents who didn't get to vote at all yesterday who are going to have a say.
In the nonpartisan races.
Yeah, and there was a handful that did.
but I think that's the issue. It's going to be the issue for everybody. I mean, there weren't many Democratic primaries. If we had had Democratic primaries, you would have found that many of them were just as uncertain about how to deal with labor issues and progressive issues that are driving that party crazy this year. And in those states where there were Democratic primaries, we saw that was a problem for candidates to gauge. I think right now the anger in the electorate is actually in the base of the two parties at their own incumbents. And now we're going to move into this more general phase, and we're going to see if the public is angry or just frustrated.
It's kind of
about
their incumbents not being far enough in their camp. You know, not being far enough to the extreme is kind of what I think is.
That's
starting with the president, really.
Yeah. That's right. They want purity, and there is a politician who is pure is a politician that we usually call a loser.
I'll tell you what. Right now, I would take competence over ideology.
I would too. I would too. I
think and competence that goes from our president all the way down.
But, you know, campaigns are different from governing. And it's going to be interesting. You know, Rory Reid has run, you know, his campaign. He's put out position papers in the manner of Jan Jones did several years ago. But he has not really gone out on a limb at this point. He's having a press conference today to lay out his plan. He doesn't have to move very far because he hasn't moved very much to begin with. He'll be on this program next week. You know, are you delighting in the position that Brian Sandoval now finds himself, where he's been, as you say, to the right of Jim Gibbons, and now has to walk back to the Senate?
Well, of course I am, because I think you're going to see contrasts with Brian Sandoval's statements some years ago to his statements to try to get elected in the primary, beating Jim Gibbons. And if he tries to walk it back, you're going to have three sets of positions that Brian Sandoval has taken over the years. And that's a difficult position for any candidate to be in. On the other hand, I think Rory Reid is going to be shown as being very very much consistent with his positions since he's been on the Clark Commission and so forth. So I think in that regard, Rory Reid has an easier task than Brian Sandoval does.
And he's also much better organized. I mean, the Democrats are... They are organized to a degree exponentially higher than the Republicans are.
Well, we had a crazy party last night at Amendment 21. I heard the Republican Party was fairly subdued.
Well, yeah, and you guys have groups like Plan and some of these other groups that have, you know, that are really out there pushing the Democrats and pushing that liberal agenda as well.
I think the challenge for Rory Reid is to move away from the position papers to what is now the electronic equivalent of the bumper sticker, the Twitter. I mean, it's now getting focus on what he's got. I think he's got a lot of well-thought-out positions, but now characterizing them and selling them as a way to govern through what's going to be a very challenging governorship. Whoever wins is really going to be difficult. He has to communicate, and communicated much better than he has. Also, he has a record of cutting budgets, of cutting jobs, because he served as chair of the Clark County Commission. And part of what he's going to have to do is to relate that to what he...
It's very hard to translate. He has an excellent, say, 30-page outline for what he wants to do, but it's so hard to translate that 30-page outline into a 30-second soundbite. That's one of the hardest things that people running for office have to figure out.
Okay, you're a former radio guy. You got 7 seconds.
I think that Rory Reid is running a campaign like Kenny Gwynn is going to run in 2000. And he's not going to have a lot of specifics, and he's going to come in, and I think people are going to be kind of surprised on where he goes.
Okay, and that's where we've got to leave it. Great discussion, guys. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with more of the pundits when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Everything has a beginning. Take rodeo.
You're a rancher. There's work to be done, so you start that wild colt. It becomes a challenge, a competition. It becomes rodeo. The Reno Rodeo. 10 days and nights of high-flying, gritty, real Western fun. Join us June 17th to the 26th for the wildest rides on the planet. The best seats are going fast. Call or log on today. The Reno Rodeo, 7 p.m., June 17th to the 26th.
Now, bull riding, that was just a dare.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they save more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Two championship courses, nature's beauty, and life's distractions fading away.
The resort at Red Hawk, consistently voted top golf course in Northern Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live.
I was born here and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
So, here's a question. What do these really excited people and these really scared people have in common?
This is your answer.
They're all on NBC this Monday, when the greatest comics of New York City show off their funny stuff.
This can be pixelated.
It already looks pixelated.
While these people on Persons Unknown are, well, they're still trying to figure out what's happening.
Where are we?
I don't know.
So what do you say? New Last Comic Standing and the miniseries Persons Unknown, Monday on NBC.
Well, I'm going to say yes.
This segment of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the international law firm of Greenberg Traurig, serving our community for decades as Nevada lawyers and as Greenberg Traurig since 2005. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our postmortem on the election with our all-pundit show. Steve Robinson is here, Director of State Government Affairs for R&R Partners, Scott Craigie, Principal at Allris Consulting, and Liz McMenamin, Vice President of Government Affairs with the Retail Associates of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. Okay, let's get to the main event, Sharon Engel, and not just a little victory, a huge victory. Your thoughts?
Much more than was anticipated. I think what it holds forth for the fall or for the next 5 months, which is hard to believe and scary, is one of the longest and most vicious campaigns that this state has seen in a long time.
May I say that this morning I opened my email and one of the first emails was from the national media buyer.
Sure. Sure. No, it is. I don't think they're going to go in hibernation, either of the candidates, and give us respectable time to start up again. It begins today. It's going to be about carving out somewhere under 50% of the vote, which is probably going to win it.
Now, explain why for the folks watching.
Well, in Nevada, at least in the federal races, we have none of the above, which can be picked over the candidates. And typically, none of the above will get somewhere between 5 and 10% of the vote.
True.
There'll be minor candidates in there too. So you could have 15, even 18% of the vote that don't go to the top two Democrat and Republican candidates. So you could have a scenario where somebody wins the election with a plurality, not a majority, maybe 45% of the vote. And that's, I think, what each of the candidates, both Reid and Engel, will be going for.
I've been talking to all the campaigns, obviously, over the last couple of weeks, and really the Engel campaign had planned all along that it was the end game, that they weren't going to try to peak early, they wanted to peak late, and with Club for Growth and the Tea Party Express coming in with huge amounts of money in the last week, even in the last day, what astonishing effect they had.
You know, it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, too, and this is a very different electorate. And it's because of the two campaigns now that they're going to go head to head, and it'll be interesting to see how Nevadans react to this. I mean, on some level, this is very, very different than most any general election that I can remember ever in all the years I've been here. And so it'll be interesting to see if there is so much anger, that if there is the amount of anger that people that are looking for Sharon to step up. Whether or not they can deliver, and whether they can actually get the votes in the voting booths, punch in the right number.
You know, third party money is going to be such a huge deal. This election is not going to be about Nevadans voting in Nevada. It's going to be about national influences coming to bear with way more money than either of the candidates can raise, well, maybe with the exception of Senator Reid.
Well, Sam, that being said, I think that this race impacts the nation. We're talking about Harry Reid, who is the majority leader up in Washington, D.C. Many people from outside of the state are either A, love him, or B, hate him. So there will be a lot of money. And I think that Senator Reid really needs to not count Sharon Engel out. She is a campaign machine. She doesn't have possibly the machine that he's had in place all these years, but she has her own machine and she works it hard. We watched with the Raggio race last time when Senator Raggio barely squeaked by. So it may be the none of the above that helps Senator Reid at this point in time, but the other thing we need to look at is the independents who will be coming in there, who weren't involved in this. How are they going to vote? Are they going to go with Senator Reid, or are they going to be part of the frustration that people are feeling and are looking for some kind of, you know, the presidential campaign change, and that we may see Sharon Angle walk away with this?
You know, it's interesting, Scott. One of the discussions over the last few days from people within the Angle campaign has been that they are not sophisticated enough to run the kind of campaign that they're going to need to run, and they're going to need to bring in outside people to help them run this campaign.
Yeah, and actually, whoever is putting that forward is making a mistake if they're hoping that that's going to somehow tone it back down, because that's not what's going to happen. The fact of the matter, and you've laid it out very clearly, the fact that this campaign is going to be run by people that want to run a campaign the way they want to see government, and they're adamant about that. And how that affects, you know, other constituent groups, that's up to what, you know, rolls out. But the bottom line is, you can't go at that community of people and tell them that if they want to win, they've got to do it a certain way, because all they do is make them more angry.
You know, is this going to be the most fascinating race since Cannon Santini Chickhecht?
Yeah, and it has some similarities, I guess. But I think Sharon came out of this, out of the primary, better than when she went in. Santini back then was damaged, and Senator Cannon was damaged, and Reid eventually won. But
Angle, okay, you mean?
Hecht, I'm sorry. And Sharon has shown herself to be, I won't say moderate, but not to be shrill. She showed a command of the issues, which I didn't see before. But you go down the line, Second Amendment, guns, big deal. She can talk chapter and verse about that. The economy, she can talk about that. She can talk about cap and trade. All the major issues she's well versed in, probably better than any of that Republican field, even John Chauchas. Chauchas knew the economic stuff, but he didn't know a wide range of things. You can ask Sharon about anything. Mining, she'll tell you, and she can go on and on about it.
Liz, let's talk about Mayor Cashel last night coming out and saying he'll walk for Senator Reid.
Well, I wasn't surprised. Wasn't he part of that Republicans for Reid group that came
Well,
out?
Well, initially he held a fundraiser for Senator Reid. Then he changed his mind, and then he was going to be supporting the Republican candidate, and then now he's back on walking. But, I mean, are you going to see Senator Raggio? And what's going to be the effect of that? Does that suddenly perpetuate the Republicans in name only?
Well, actually, I think we're going to see a strengthening of the Republican Party with Senator Mark Amity taking it over. I think we're going to see some coalescing that needs to go on. I think he has the ability to bring people together in Senator Amity's own unique way. And I think that the Democrats need to pay attention, because Mark will bring this party together in a way that maybe Senator Raggio or Mayor Cashel might want to rethink what they're saying out there, as opposed to damaging the Republican Party a little further. It could be interesting, but I was not surprised to hear Mayor Cashel say that. And I'm not sure what his background is on it. Is it that he just doesn't want to support Sharon Angle? We may see a few Republicans that feel that way. However, again, do not count this woman out. She is tough.
Your thoughts on Republicans for Reid?
Yeah, actually, you know, I think that they'll put that together, but I don't think that the, and I assume you're talking about U.S. Senator Reid, and given that it's, I just don't see a connection there that is going to be big enough, broad enough, that would actually make a major difference. You know, I don't think that that's the kind of motivator that gets people out of their houses otherwise.
And I can recall Governor Gwynn being asked by somebody for Gwynn's endorsement, and he said, you know what? It's not going to make any difference anyway, whether I endorse you or not. And if you look across the state and nationally, outside of a few people like certain Tea Party elements and maybe Sarah Palin, Bill Clinton yesterday wasn't. But normally endorsements, people don't care.
All right, I want to hit one last topic on today's show. The Ben Kiekhefer Ty Cobb race, as it ended up. Your thoughts on that? About 15 seconds, if you would.
You know, that was done right here outside this studio when Ty Cobb went out and gave his interview. The race was over and Ben had won.
And that was because the interview about kicking the sign, that ended up being the commercial.
It was ties to lose.
Okay, and that's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. Great discussion. We'll be right back on About Newsmakers after this timeout.
Tell me you're going to get back to me.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
If you're in debt to the IRS for $10,000 or more, you don't have to take desperate measures to settle your account. All you have to do is put the right people to work for you. And that's as simple as calling this number. You'll speak to a tax expert who can help you negotiate a settlement that's significantly less than the actual amount you owe. Many are former IRS agents who have inside knowledge that you can't get elsewhere. And that can make all the difference in the world.
They saved my business.
I owed $30,000 and paid a fraction of it.
The threatening letter stopped immediately.
I got great advice, and they did all the work.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, you owe it to yourself and your family to call this number and get your case settled for less. Now, you only have a small window of time to settle, so act now.
For a free tax analysis, call 800-747-6107. There is no obligation. Call 800-747-6107 now.
On the next face-to-face, the votes have been tallied, the victory laps and concession speeches are over. And now, we'll tell you what happened and why and what it means for November. A look ahead with party leaders to the general election. Next, face-to-face.
Public Notice. It's a total vehicle disbursement sales event. Every pre-owned car, truck, van, and SUV must go. Leave your money at home. You won't need it this weekend. Lenders on site for immediate delivery. And payments as low as $99 a month. All trade-ins accepted. Upside down in your car? Want a newer car and lower payments? This is your chance. Get a $2,000 cash assistance to help you get out of your current vehicle. You'll also receive a $1,000 Visa gift card with every purchase. It's the total vehicle disbursement sales event. This weekend only at Internet Auto Rented Sales.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway and Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Finally, a place to stay and play in historic Virginia City. It's the best of the Old West at the 67-room Victorian-style Silverland Inn and Suites. Now you can spend the night and enjoy a different world just a short ride from Reno. Indoor heated pool and hot tub, special events and activities are all available for your enjoyment. Stay Sunday through Thursday and a standard room is only $69. Call the Silverland Inn and Suites and discover a new way to stay and play in the Old West.
The odds of the Big Easy winning the U.S. Open twice? 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, we're going to talk about America's third war. Not Iraq, not Afghanistan. It's the war on our Mexican border with Larry Martinez right here. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.